I can still remember my first job. It was a paper round, delivering the Sunday morning newspapers to around 50 homes in my neighborhood. That was the moment I started on a 28-year journey of working for other people and self-imposing a ceiling of earning and progress. Just over a year ago, I took the decision to never work for anyone else again. At least, not on an employee basis. That's why people like this episode's Mirror E fascinate me. He's had his situation nailed down from the very beginning, and he's figured out how to live a life with purpose. But it didn't start out all that easily. It's time to talk to Brad Sugars and say to him, let's take a look in your mirror.
In Your Mirror with Neil Velio.
The idea of this show is that you'll hear how successful people of today and the future have been overcoming their demons to win big in life. We'll learn all about how they've looked in their mirror and then looked back at their past life through it. My hope is that you listen to these stories and then you feel inspired to find a way to also look back at your past life in your mirror.
In Your Mirror is a Podnose podcasting network show.
Brad Sugars runs Action Coach, an international business coaching one-stop advice shop that has a clear ethos: creating abundance and wealth through business re-education.
Your toilet needs fixing, you hire a plumber. Your house rewiring, an electrician. But who do you turn to make your ideas work? Well, an increasing number of people are turning to a new company which is making them rich. And the man with all the answers is himself doing very nicely. He's worth $25 million.
At the age of 25, Brad Sugars retired. Comfortably, very comfortably. But he got bored, and now at the ripe old age of 29, he's thinking of upgrading the company jet.
His company's whole approach seems to be, just come and chat to us. And I know from first-hand experience, they're wanting to have a conversation and significantly help businesses and their decision makers before they even start discussing exchanging contracts.
There's so many different areas that we coach people within around the world. You see, at Action Coach, we operate in more than 70 countries around the world. We've got more than 1,000 offices helping business owners just like you create great success in your business.
We're going to discover Brad's mirror moment, but before we do that, let's first hold up the mirror to Brad and find out who he is right now. I started out by trying to understand who he is and what he's looking for in his coaches.
They love helping people. That's the first and primary number one driver. Yes, I want them to have good business background, good business or good coaching experience. But the number one key driver for my people, because you've got to remember, in this day and age, who you are and why you do what you do is more important in business than what you actually do. Our clients, I'm looking for people who want to be a part of that vision. I don't want clients who just want to help themselves. If you just want to help yourself, then, you know, we can help you. But that's not who I'm after. I'm after people like see you, Neil. You're a client of ours on one side of it, but here you are helping the world on the other side. I want business owners who are morally, socially responsible to help other business owners. And that helps us from two aspects. It helps us because the more you increase businesses' ability to make profit, the more every business makes profit because it increases an economy. And the second is it helps us in a subjective way, in a personal way, in that if you, Neil, want to help a lot of other business owners, you're going to introduce me and introduce Action Coach to a lot of other business owners, because if we can help you, we can help them too. And so we want to build a community of business owners that love helping other business owners. And some of them just happen to be on my team, and some of them happen to be our clients, and some happen to be our strategic partners as well. So I think, you know, the most important thing about our clients and our team members and our strategic partners is that they love helping business owners succeed.
And how are you sort of going about identifying that? Because it's not like any sort of normal job, is it, where you put a job ad out and you say, wanted, really cool coaches that want to help people. So there has to be some sort of criteria that you must be able to assess.
You know, there is. I mean, we have a six-page assessment criteria matrix that we go through. But when you say you can't just put an ad that says we want really cool coaching, yes, you can. My first ever ad looking for franchise partners was the headline on it, Wanted: People with Passion, People with Heart. There is definitely a lot of people out there, and we look at recruiting as more deselection than selection. We tell you very clearly, we want this type of person. We want someone who has this skill set. We want someone who comes to us with this level of passion for what they do. And then from there, we bring that person onto the team. And you don't have to recruit. I always think that recruiting should first and foremost be about their heart and soul, and second of all, be about their skill set. In this day and age, where the millennial generation are fast becoming a majority of the population working base and customer base, I mean, a third of the customer base and working base are in that age group, or, you know, and so we start to see this is a group of people who why is more important than what. Why is more important than how. You got to remember, if you go back generationally, the baby boomer generation didn't grow up with the internet, so couldn't learn things. They actually had to remember things, actually had to learn it and remember it, had to learn math and be able to do math, not just pull out their phone or their watch and do the math on their phone or their watch. Didn't have Google to answer an argument. You actually had to read and study to answer an argument and be a knowledgeable human being. So they learned not only what to do, but they learned to learn. My generation was the first generation of holes in your jeans. In the 80s, we had holes in our jeans. We didn't darn them. We didn't fix our socks. We were the first of the throw-out generation. You threw out socks if they got a hole in them. You didn't fix them. Your drill breaks, okay? You own a drill. In the millennial generation, you're like, well, I don't even own a drill. I call a handyman, you know? But if you own a drill and it breaks, you don't fix it. You throw it out, go buy a new one. And you don't even go buy a new one. You order it while you're there on your phone. Hey, Alexa, order a new drill. Great, done. So we've moved from a fixing it generation to a throw out generation to a generation now in below millennials who don't even understand fixing stuff, don't even contemplate fixing things. My six-year-old son, when he was five last year, we have a groundsman in our house. We're pretty lucky. And I turned to him and said, oh, it needs fixing. Who's going to fix that? Carlos. What do you mean dad's going to fix? No, dad doesn't fix stuff. Carlos fixes things. You know, it's like, and you have to hire a 60-year-old guy to get things fixed. You can't hire a young guy. They don't know how to fix anything anymore. So ultimately, why and who? And that's where our culture document is really important in our recruiting, knowing who we are going after. If anyone wants to read it, it's on our website, actioncoach.com. Our 14 points of culture are very clear. This is who we are. This is why we do what we do. And from there, if you do those things first, recruiting's a breeze.
I'm a really big fan of the way that you do what you do. You obviously know what you're doing. You've been doing it long enough. I've watched videos where you have stood in a room. You know, a mutual colleague of ours sent me a video of you in action at some kind of seminar that you were running. And your style, it's something to see, because what you do is you're engaging these people that are making six, seven figures, and you're talking to them like, how do you not see these mistakes you're making?
How many of you know that a bunch of your week disappears into nothingness and it's just wasted? Who knows that one? Say yeah. Okay, where does it go? Who knows? But understanding how to get productivity out of yourself and your team. Very simple one that you can start doing tomorrow. How many of you would like to have 30% more productivity out of yourself and your staff starting tomorrow morning? Say yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. You're not writing this down. Write this down. Every day at the end of this day, every single employee in your company must, and I mean must, write down what they've got to do tomorrow, what they have to do, what they have to achieve the next day. If every person in your company does that before they leave, then hey presto, guess what? All of a sudden they're all 30% more productive. How do we know that? Well, last time you went on holiday, what did you do? You made a list of everything you had to achieve the day before you went on holiday, and you achieved twice as much as you do in a regular day.
Equally, you also make videos in your car, and they're also, you know, they're just as inspirational. Even though you haven't got these big executives in a room swallowing you every word, you know, what you're giving, the value you're giving is incredible. And I'm lucky to see them quite often because, you know, you are a LinkedIn connection.
If you know what your rules are, by rules, I mean, I'll invest in this. If it meets these criteria, I'll invest. If it doesn't meet these criteria, I won't invest.
almost to the point where you could give your rules to someone else and they would know what to invest in and what not to invest in.
I guess what I'm trying to say to you is that I have taken a lot of value from those pieces of content that you've done off the cuff. So I suppose it's a really opportune moment to ask you, for somebody that might be at the moment just thinking, oh, what am I going to do? You know, maybe they're in the events business and they can't do events. Maybe they're in a business that requires huge audiences and they can't do that, or whatever it is, whatever the rules have now, you know, essentially taken their business from under them. What advice would you give them to sort of stay focused and get on with it? You know, because it is a tough time anyway. It doesn't matter how good you are going to feel it, I suppose, aren't you?
Okay, let's be very, very blunt about one very important thing. COVID is a human crisis first. Okay, it is not an economic crisis. COVID is the biggest economic opportunity we've had since 2008. It is the biggest shift in business that you are ever going to see in your entire lifetime, in my opinion. We have virtualized business to such a degree that we have leaped ahead somewhere between 5 and 10 years, depending upon the industry. We have leapfrogged 5 to 10 years advancements in your industry in 6 months. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and cry over your spilt milk? Or are you going to go, wow, look at this. I can be ahead of the entire world and do this. Look at the advancements that came for the world from 2008, when that crisis happened, 2010. Look at the businesses that were evolved into, the Ubers, the LinkedIn. I mean, look at the advancements in LinkedIn. No one used to go on LinkedIn pre-COVID. Now they're on there every damn day. You know, it's like you sit back and you have to understand geography has been removed. For business, you've got people saying, oh, you know, people aren't buying in my area. Well, you can sell anywhere in the world now because geography has been removed. No one cares where they're buying from. They're buying on a computer. So who really cares? This is the biggest shift in economic data. Amazon are doing today the numbers they predicted they would be doing in 2027. So 7 years leapfrog for Amazon. This is a company at the cutting edge and they've leaped 7 years ahead. So what are you doing to leap forward with this thing? Are you letting it beat you up or are you leaping forward with it? One of my clients who's in construction, this guy's a genius. He said, you know, everyone's going to need a home office or a home school. He's creating these things. They're like a shipping container size. He literally drives them to your yard, drops it, takes a crane, drops it in your backyard, plugs in a hose, plugs in a power socket. You now have a school room or an office in your backyard. For families that needed that space. Because, you know, if you look at the opportunities created right now, this is the most phenomenal historic changes. Let me list off a few industries where you cannot get work done right now. Landscape. You can't get a landscaper right now for 6 to 12 months. They're booked sold. You can't buy a desk. Try buying a desk today. You can't get them. How come? They're sold out. Why? Everyone needed one for home. You know, try getting a gym equipment for your house. Like, think about the opportunity that had been created by the cocooning factor. I read the book Cocooning, gotta be back in 1990, maybe. Today we see it just happening over and over and over again. People are cocooning in. Huge opportunity. I cannot believe it. Fully 1/3 of companies out in the marketplace today are having their record revenues today. I have 9 different companies. I have 2 of them having absolute massive record numbers by such a margin that it's just insane. You just sit there and go, how the heck are we ever doing those numbers? Most of my companies, we had to pivot to be able to stay in business. And now we've pivoted and found a way. Well, it took us about 90 days for most of them to pivot and find a way to stay in business. And then we pivoted again to take advantage of the current opportunity. And they're all in growth mode right now. Only one company we had to shut down as a restaurant. It's in one of the casinos in the city I live in here in Las Vegas at the Wynn. So we had to shut. We had no opportunity other than we were legally required to. So, but with that one, you know, we'll open up and we'll come back stronger than ever.
What's the one thing that you commonly see people make mistakes with their business that you think, God, if only you didn't do that, you would be so much better off?
Everything. That's a very hard. When you try and boil anything down to one thing, it's very, very complex because business is a complex analogy. Business is a complex set of scenarios, and it doesn't matter what business you're in. there are complexities that break it down. Now, if I was to look at probably two or three things, I would say human-wise, they don't take care of their people well enough. If you want to build a business, you build your people, they build your business. If you're not building your people, they can't build your business. If your people don't get better, the business doesn't get better. So that's probably one fundamental. You know, they think marketing is about running an ad and people should buy from it. Look, in this day and age, marketing is so simple. It's so simple. You said it earlier. I just add a lot of value to a lot of people, and therefore a lot of people share my stuff around the world. See, social media isn't about you posting. It's about how many people post about you. Think about that for a second. I don't care how many, like my posts, the only thing I care about my posts is, did everyone share it? If it's not good enough that Neil says, wow, look at this video Brad did on LinkedIn and how amazing it is, and I should share this with all of my listeners, then I didn't do a good job. Marketing today is about making sure people are talking about you. Marketing today is about testimonial videos. It's about ratings. It's about rankings. It's about all of these things. And actually, so I'm going to boil all this down to one mistake. You asked, what's the one mistake? I'm going to boil it down to one. They don't learn enough. They're a great locksmith, but they have no clue how to be a business owner. Doesn't matter what business you're in, you have to be a good business owner. You have to be a good entrepreneur. If someone says to you, oh, I'm no good at sales, really? How many sales training seminars have you been to? Oh, none. Well, that's why you're no good at sales. Learn. You know, if you went and learned it, you'd be good at it. Well, I've never, you know, I've tried to do sales. How many sales meetings have you actually had? Well, I've had five or six and I was no good at them. Well, you've had five or six, of course you're no good at them. No one's good after five or six rounds of golf. You have to do 500 or 600 rounds of golf to get good at it.
Maybe they're not around in the business as much as they should be. Would you say that's fair? Like, say, for example, you got a CEO who doesn't know what the shop floor are doing. Of course, you know, you yourself, you say that a business should run. If you're doing a good business, it should run without you. But on the flip of the coin, do you still need to know the ins and outs of how the business works in order to continue to be successful?
No, you don't. No, my restaurant, I have no clue in the world how to cook half of the stuff in the restaurant. And I don't ever want to know how to cook any of it. I refuse to even learn. I'll tell you the story. My second eldest daughter, back about 5-10 years ago, we were going into our restaurant. We own the dang thing. Well, me and my partners own the restaurant. And we're walking in and there's a new girl on the front desk and I've never met her before and I don't care to meet her. I don't want to know who she is. And because if I knew who she was, it meant I worked there, which means I'm not successful. I've built a job for myself, not a business for myself. And so I walked up to the front counter and she said, "Do you have a reservation?" "Yes, for Sugars." She took us to the table. Now, the chef knew I was there and the manager and the maitre d', they all know I was there. But, you know, that's a different story. They know who I am because they should know who I am. But this young girl took us to our table. We sat down. My second oldest came in. And Dad said, "Dad, I don't think that young girl knows that, like, we own the place." I said, "Well, hang on. First things first. We don't own anything. I own the dang thing. You know, I'm rich and successful. You kid got a long way to go to get to that position in life. And second of all, yes, I hope they don't know me because that means I've succeeded. I've created a business that works, so I don't have to." Ultimately, our role with money is fundamentally built on one key learning, and that is the thing called leverage. Leverage, by definition, is more with less, or the mathematical formula is divide to multiply. I try and teach it a little bit simpler than that. I just say, if you can do the work once and get paid forever, then you're leveraged. Or do the work once and get paid long-term, then you're leveraged. Like, that's book number 17 that I've written, right? And so each of my 17 books, they keep selling. So every month I keep getting checks from my publisher saying, "Hey, you sold a bunch more books this month. Fantastic." So I will get paid for that until I die. In fact, for 75 years after I die, my family will keep getting paid for those. To me, that's the ultimate in success. Work I did 10 years ago or 20 years ago that still pays me today.
That's fantastic. I was actually going to ask you about your secret to success.
Well, I can give you my formula for success if you'd like that. Formula,
oh, please do. Very, that would make me a very popular man.
Yeah. The formula is, I'll teach it to you very simple. It's dreams times goals times learning times plans times action equals success. Dream, goal, learn, plan, act. Build your dreams. You want to have success, you've got to have dreams. You can't just have small stepping stones, small goals or any of that. You've got to have dreams. And dreams are like 10 to 20 years out. Like, what color helicopter do you want? And people look at me going, well, I don't want a helicopter. That's because you don't know any better. If you knew any better, you would want a helicopter, you know, driving in the traffic. I've been to the UK. You want a helicopter, for goodness sake. they call them motorways for some funny reason. I don't know why they call them that. They're parking lots in the UK. So take your dreams, and your dreams then have to be turned into goals. Goals is where you give it that specific, measurable, achievable results on over the time frame. Inside 5 years, it needs to be a goal now. Now, the reason we develop goals is then to know, what do we need to learn? If you don't have a goal, you don't know what to learn. You just learn aimlessly. Oh, my goal is to double my business. Excellent. Read all of the books that teach you how to double your business. Okay, go to all of the courses that teach you how to double your business. There's a bunch of books out there like, you know, set the goal and set your intention. Well, if you set the goal and you don't go and do the learning, then you'll just keep doing the same stupid stuff you were doing before, so you won't achieve the goal. So it's dream, goal, then learn. Make your learning list. What do I have to learn in order to do that? And that brings me to an interesting point. When you tell people your dreams and goals, oftentimes I'll say to you, there's no way you can do that. And they're right. The person you are today can't do that. But the person you are becoming, with the knowledge you gain and the increased inputs and the mentoring and the coaching and whatever it is you do, that person can achieve that goal. But I'm not there yet. The reason I set the goal is so that I can become the person that achieves that goal. So dream, goal, learn. Once you've done the learning, then you can write the plan. No use writing a plan until you do new learning, because otherwise your plan would say, do more of the same stupid stuff I was doing before. Dream, goal, learn, plan, then go to work. That's the formula for success.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. I'm definitely going to write that down on a wall somewhere and study that every day. I know that's how it works, obviously. Well,
I did a whole program called 30X Success. It's 30 minutes a day for 30 days to study all of the success principles in life.
Well, g'day. 30X Success. The first time I've taught this stuff in, you know, I reckon it's got to be 10 years since I've taught this material. The 2-day live event on success for you. Attracting success to your life. What does that look like? Be it relationship success, business success, life success. I'm really excited about the live coaching sessions with people on this.
And people can get it. It's $99. Go to bradsugars.com. I did one for business too. $99 as well. 30X business. 30 minutes a day for 30 days to get my 30 years business knowledge.
Our life experiences and the resulting life-changing decisions we take from them can often determine what kind of person we see when we look in the mirror. I like to call this the mirror moment. And that's the point of this show. Identifying people's mirror moments so that we can then learn from them. Let's find out more about Brad's mirror moment. It turns out he has two of them.
You know, I go back to two events that changed the course of my life. One, about 13 years old, I got in a little bit of trouble at school because I got in a fight with a kid, beat the snot out of him and got in a lot of trouble. And I put that down to the fact that my parents, we moved from Darwin in Australia to Adelaide in Australia. And the cool thing, I'm going to age myself here, was Levi's 501 jeans, right? And so I didn't have Levi's 501 jeans. We had corduroy jeans from Kmart. You know, we moved from a place that was hot as heck to a place that was cold. And so I'm wearing corduroy jeans. And I don't know if you've ever worn corduroys, but when you walk down the hallway, your legs go together and go, makes this noise. So I put it all down to in my head that my parents didn't have enough money to buy me the right jeans. Therefore, and so I remember after getting in trouble, going to my room, slamming the door, ripping those jeans up, thinking I will never not have enough money to be able to do what I want to do with my life. I will always work. I got a job straight afterwards, kept studying, kept learning. And then 16 years old, two things happened. One, I won the award at my local Rotary Club gave, and it was called the Rotary Youth Leadership Awards. And that meant it was called RYLA. And so they sent me away for 1 week's training on how to be a leader and how to be successful at 16. And so, you know, those two things added together set me on a path of just going for it, really just going for what it is that I wanted in my life. And you know, here we are today building a company that just helps people. And, you know, that's the whole goal.
You mentioned 16, you're getting an opportunity like that. Now, if you're a 36-year-old, you're going to go, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. But As a 16-year-old, what goes through your head when you get that kind of an opportunity? How did you manage yourself through that?
You know, I think that was one of the greatest things about the training is they actually taught you to think success, to think of those things. But it got me learning. And so it put me on a lifelong learning path. And I think also at 16, I met Jim Rohn, E. James Rohn, in seminar, and I got to meet him afterwards. He signed my notes. But, you know, as I consistently just kept reading and studying and learning and reading and studying and learning, because, you know, success is not something you are shown as a young person that, hey, you can be a multimillionaire. You can go out there and lead the world. You can do all these things. And especially being from Australia, you know, Australia, here we are, a country of ex-convicts, or you English kicked us out 200 years ago, all the fun people. And here we are sitting there thinking, you know, what is it that we can go on and achieve? Australia suffers from a disease called the tall poppy syndrome, where anyone who wants to achieve anything, they're going to get cut down real fast. I had to do that. And so I started to build this group of people. And this is what our company does. We take people who want to be successful in business, and we give them a community and give them the education and give them the mentoring and the coaching. And you know, I think I give people a lot of what I wished I'd had when I was that age and that stage of business.
What strikes me about characters like yourself and Mr. Robbins is that you have this mindset gift where you can just, yeah, okay, so you got the reason that you want to avoid being, you know, continuing down that path. Fair enough, that you might say that's quite motivational in itself, but there's still that edge that you guys must have had that made you go, I'm doing this, even though all the odds are against me, it seems, I'm going for it and committing to it. I mean, what is it that you sort of channel to get to that mindset?
I think first and foremost, I was lucky enough to be young enough and naive enough to not believe that it couldn't happen. You know, I think that's an important aspect. The older you get, the more reasonable you get with life. You know, it's like, oh, that's not reasonable. You know, at 16 and 17, learning that, okay, I'm going to financially retire at age 25. I'm going to retire at age 25. People look at me and say, you can't possibly do that. Well, you're right. It took me till 26. I missed it by 12 months. You know, what's the big deal? But here's the thing. There's three levels of goals in life. I started out at age 13, never wanting to be in that negative situation. So my goals were a negative goal. They were to get away from a negative scenario. Jim Rohn taught me at age 16 to move to a positive scenario. Stop setting goals about getting out of a negative. You know, instead of, I don't want to be overweight, I want to be able to run 3 miles within 20 minutes every, do you know what I mean? It's like, instead of I want to be out of debt, I want to have it's 100,000 in the bank and all my bills paid. I want to, those sorts of things. And then finally, what I learned as a business person is that ultimately, the third level of goals is where the goal is no longer about you. The goal is much greater than you. And that's where with Action Coach, I set the vision of world abundance through business re-education. And for me to achieve that, I need to create this massive organization. I can't possibly do that all on my own.
As you just heard, Brad made that decision to turn his back on an average life when he was just 13 years old. Now the person who's looking back at him when he looks in the mirror is a very different person from whom it might have been had he continued to be that lad who beat up the other boy in school. He's making a difference in people's lives by helping them identify their own paths to success through coaching. I've seen a lot of business owners who have taken to social media and are talking about the latest great self-help book they've read. But is that enough? I asked Brad what the difference maker is when it comes to coaching versus reading self-help books.
Well, let's be very clear. The learning, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Sometimes the first four books you read are like the first four corners of the jigsaw puzzle, okay? And sometimes we have to keep learning enough to fill in the jigsaw puzzle before we're confident enough to step out and take action, okay? So I don't berate anyone that's read all of the books and hasn't taken action yet, because there's a trigger that's going to come to them in the next little while, and maybe this session with you and me is the trigger for that person to go, you know what? Time to get going. Stop learning, start earning. Okay? Apply what I already know. So that brings me to the difference. The difference is application. When you have a coach, you have accountability. You have someone that makes you do what you already know you should be doing. And then second of all, gives you the knowledge base to make sure when you do apply it, it's successful. Sometimes the biggest thing a business coach is just a cheerleader. No, that's an important aspect of it. I know a lot of the people I've coached over the years, when I told them to, I said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I should do this, this, and this. Great, do that. And they're like, but no, just do it. And the fact that I gave them the confidence to do it, they were like, well, Brad said to do it, so I guess it's the right thing. So let's do it. A lot of people don't have their own self-confidence factor of just going out there and doing what needs to be done. You know, I feel for people who are stuck in that paralysis phase of not doing and not acting on what they know. I feel for them because they've obviously not yet found a coach who inspires them to take action. They've not yet found that person. But let's flip this around just for a second. You know, what is the average learning of the average person out there in the world when it comes to them being successful? It's not that, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. It's not that, hey, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. Because here's who they listen to. They listen to the person who hasn't achieved anything. When you meet a successful person, and Neil, you've met a bunch of successful people. It's very rare that a successful person ever says to you, oh, no, don't do that. You won't succeed. Don't go for that. I don't think I ever meet any successful people that try and talk you out of your dreams. The only ones that try and talk you out of your dreams are the people who haven't done anything. You know, and if you let someone steal your dream, shame on you. But don't let someone who's given up on their dreams talk you out of yours. The fact that they've given up on their dreams doesn't mean that you have to. I love using people who tell me what I can't do as fodder for all of the things that I want to do in life. It's like, what? Can't do it? Oh, let me show you. I remember as a young man, every time I got a brand new car, I drove it around to a friend of mine's dad's house and showed him the car because he was the one who said I couldn't do stuff. And it was like, hey, take a look at my new Ferrari F355 Formula One. Look at me pop the roof out. Have a listen to the note on this thing. It sounds like a Formula One race car. You should listen to this thing. It was beautiful, bright yellow too. I loved that car. Driving it through the city was amazing. You heard the reverberations come back to you off the buildings. Beautiful.
When I was 25, I've redefined it. I financially retired, which meant I could never had to work another day in my life. But I do it now because I enjoy what I do and because we're achieving amazing things. And you look at it and you say, well, you know, what else is there to do? I mean, imagine trying to retire.
You're just too busy playing the game.
Well, the game is so much fun.
Do you ever wake up and have a bad day? And if you do, what do you do to get out of it so that you can become Brad Sugars?
Well, of course I have bad days, but not really. I don't allow myself the luxury of wallowing in my own self-pity and my own self-stupidity. If I made a mistake that created a negative scenario, then I have to take ownership for it and responsibility for it. But that being said, I do exactly what I just told. I call my coach. I have two coaches, one that is my mental coach and one that, actually I have three. I have one that's a financial coach, one that's a mental coach, and one that's a business coach. And oftentimes it's my mental coach. I remember talking to her during COVID and I'd gotten to a point of anger and annoyance with this whole thing. And she looked at me dead in the eye and she said, so Brad, what emotion would you rather do rather than being annoyed? Upset. I'd rather do upset. I'd rather punch someone in the face right now. And she looked at me and said, And any positive things that you like, she had to coach me through it. You know, I don't care how successful you are, you need a coach. It doesn't matter how good you are, you need a coach. And I'm lucky enough to run the world's largest business coaching organization, the biggest and the best. And if ever I've got a business challenge, it's amazing how all of my team of business coaches are willing to teach me how to run the business. So, you know, there's plenty of advice going around there. Just remember this, though. It's the worst advice you can get is free advice from a poor person.
I really believe that we are going to change lives with this episode. I genuinely believe that because if anybody gets from this what I have, they're going to go, this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm booking with Action Coach.
If you are listening to this, do not just listen to this one. Subscribe to what Neil's doing. Subscribe and listen to all the amazing people on this. This is a great way to keep your knowledge base growing.
I love you. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Bye for now.
Brad has looked in the mirror and found his life's purpose, helping other business owners to stop having to work in their business and instead working on it, investing as little or as much time on it as they wish. And he does this by applying lessons and coaching through his massively successful coaching business. If you want to know more about Brad's 30X program, get access to his wisdom-filled books, or even connect with the very same action coach, business coach that I have, you'll find all the details in the show notes. You'll also find all the social media contact details in case you want to connect with Brad directly. Until the next episode.
And I'm not trying to sound like, you know, get rid of the racists and all the rest of it. Of course I am thinking that. And we didn't design the platform for that, but it accidentally did it. We had transgender breakfast show with the podcast Transgender Stuff in our first week.
Have you looked in your mirror yet? Who's looking back at you? And what was their mirror moment?
In Your Mirror is a Podnose podcasting network show.